As we continue the Easter season, the Pentecost season, we see more and more how the Holy Spirit is the agent driving the growth of the church. In today's gospel, Jesus identifies himself as someone sent by the Father. In the first reading, Barnabas and Saul are sent by the Holy Spirit. And today's saint, Saint Catherine of Siena, is also a great example of someone sent, someone on a mission from the Holy Spirit. Let's start with the gospel where Jesus is speaking about himself, but always in relation to the one who sent him. This is one of the striking things about Jesus. Sometimes he uses the famous I am statements. We heard one the other day, I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says a number of things that identify him. But just as often, he speaks about himself as the one sent by the Father, coming from the Father, doing the will of the Father, saying the word of the Father. He's constantly referring to the one who sent him, so much so that we get the impression we can't really know him unless we know the Father. And that's why the apostles asked a little bit after this passage, I think it might even come up later this week, they asked, well, just show us the Father. You keep talking about the Father. Just show us the Father. Then we'll know what you're talking about. Well, he is showing us the Father. He's constantly drawing us to the Father. And that's because the Father sent him to do that exact thing. It's a wonderful thing to reflect on the process by which the Father reveals himself. He reveals himself by sending his Son, and then the Son draws us to the Father. For some reason, in thinking about this, I remembered that, well, I guess it's something in all of us, this kind of fear that as we draw closer to God, we'll lose something. Sometimes people outside the faith or outside the church have this fear that if you become too religious, you lose your individuality, you lose your freedom. You end up like those people in the cults. You know, they dress the same, they talk the same, they look the same, and they like lose themselves. Well, that does happen in cults. It doesn't happen in people who are genuinely drawn to the Father, or those who are disciples of Jesus, because the one who created us has a unique mission, a unique identity and mission for each of us. And as we draw closer to him, we become more and more who he made us to be. And that is not like anybody else. So I know sometimes we use this image of God at the center of a wheel, and like the hub of the wheel, and all the spokes are going toward the center, and the more we go closer to the center, closer we come to one another. Well, yes, that's true, but it's not really like that, because all the spokes are not in a wheel. All the spokes are exactly the same. You can't even tell them apart. But when it comes to followers of Jesus Christ, all the spokes are completely different from each other, and the closer they come to the center, the more unique they become. You see this in the lives of the saints. The saints who look from a distance like they're all the same, long white robes, harps, carrying their palm branches, singing the same song. But as you get to know them, they're all completely different. Saint Catherine of Siena, great example. Another saint, another virgin, another doctor of the church. Well, yes, but also an extraordinarily unique and gifted woman who accomplished so much in a very short time. She died at age 33. She was the 23rd child, is that right? 23rd child of the family. And we would say, oh gosh, how can the parents tell them all apart? They can. Parents can tell them all, because that's what happens when we have a relationship with an individual. We don't lose them in the crowd. Yesterday when we celebrated my 25th anniversary, and there was a stage where people came up to give me gifts at the end of the Mass. I'm standing there. And when I was offering the Mass and looking out at the crowd, I saw a lot of people. Maybe I could identify some of them, but so many of them, as they approached me, I said, oh, I didn't even see you stand in the crowd, but I certainly know who you are. Thank you very much. It was an individual experience. And then I had a little nervousness because there were so many priests, and I thought, I'm going to have to introduce all these priests. And I thought, how am I going to remember who they are? And it wasn't hard at all. Now, to someone unfamiliar with them, it's, I think there were 14 of them, 14 guys. They're all dressed exactly the same. They're sitting together. They're all from the same place, speak the same language, and they kind of all look the same. From the perspective of someone who didn't know any of them. But when I turned around to introduce them, I knew every single one of them. It wasn't even hard because I know them, I know their names. Sometimes I can't remember which parish they're in, but they're all unique individuals to me, and it was easy. I had been nervous. How can I introduce these priests? Well, it was easy. They're all individual and a different relationship with all of them. So that's what I'm saying. This is what happens as we draw close to God and we become who we are. We fulfill our unique mission. St. Catherine, part of her unique mission was to reconcile the church. The church was divided. It was popes and anti-popes. The real pope was in France and the anti-popes in Rome, and it was chaos. It was really a difficult time. And Catherine, who had a natural inclination to contemplative life and wanted to stay out of this, was called by God to get into the fray and make clear pronouncements about what God wanted. And she traveled around Italy, because the Italians were the ones who were rejecting the French Pope. And anyway, it's a complicated mess. But she, a young woman, not well educated, not from a great family, youngest of 23 children, she was called by the Holy Spirit to be the agent to bring about unity in the church. And to even tell the Pope what to do. She told the Pope to get back to Rome. And he did it. I mean, it was just an extraordinary mission. Well, I'm reflecting here on what Jesus says about himself, sent by the Father. And then because we are in him, we are one body with him, we also are sent by the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. We see another example of this in the first reading, as Barnabas and Saul. This is actually a kind of threshold in the history of the church. Before this, for the most part, missionaries went because they were running from persecution. Well, I shouldn't say that, because Philip was sent by the Holy Spirit to catch up with the Ethiopian, and he was sent off to Azotus. And so there were individual cases of missionary efforts, and Peter was, you know, going around. But the reason why they fled Jerusalem for the most part was because of persecution. And that's why Christians got to Antioch, because they were getting out of the area of persecution. But in this reading, there's a different motivation for the mission, the evangelization. The Holy Spirit says, okay, set aside these two, Barnabas and Saul, and send them off to do the work to which I have called them. So it was a mission not because of persecution, but because of divine vocation. There's a list of names here, prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, and Saul, five guys. And they were probably very happy to remain in Antioch doing their mission, until the Holy Spirit said, well, two of these five are being sent out to do something else. And so they fasted, they prayed, they laid hands on them, they sent them off. Barnabas and Saul. Why Barnabas and Saul? Well, because the Holy Spirit indicated it, but you can also see a natural reason. Saul, for one thing, was used to traveling around. He was an anti-missionary before his conversion. He was going around trying to destroy the church. He's used to being on the road to serve the Lord. And Barnabas was also a man used to journeying. He's from Cyprus, for one thing. He ended up in Jerusalem. He's the one who went to Tarsus to get Saul and bring him back to Antioch. So these two men are used to traveling around, which was unusual in those days. travel was very, very difficult. But these two had the experience, they knew the language, they were Greek speaking, and so they were also logical choices to be sent for. They're completely different from each other as we get to know them, but at first it's just two men the Lord called, sent out. The first place they go, I always find this so interesting, they went, sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from there sailed to Cyprus. Why did they go to Cyprus? Well, because that's where Barnabas was from. It was familiar territory to him. It was his home province. When they arrived in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. Why the Jewish synagogues? Because they were Jews, and that's where they went. That's where they prayed. That's what they were used to. You see how the mission begins, not in a completely abrupt and jarring change, but in a kind of natural development, an extension of what was familiar. Now, it's in time, they will go to completely foreign places, completely unknown territory, different languages, different cultures, I mean, they will, but not at the beginning. They go to something a little bit further from home, but still not completely unfamiliar. The further they go, as we will see, as we read the Acts of the Apostles, the more they become fully themselves as missionary apostles. But it's a process that's led by the Holy Spirit, and they have to yield to the inspiration of the Spirit. So you see what's happening here. Jesus, certainly the example of someone in full, perfect obedience to the Father, but then that sets the standard for everyone else who's baptized into Jesus Christ to be fully in full obedience and perfect cooperation with the will of God. And God's will is to save everyone. Jesus puts it here, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. So if people reject me, I'm not going to condemn them. In a sense, they condemn themselves. They reject life. If we reject life, we don't have life. If we reject the word, we don't have the word. If we reject light, we're left in darkness. That's what he's saying here. But it's not his will, not the will of the Father, to reject anyone. Okay, just as Jesus is sent, Barnabas and Saul are sent, St. Catherine of Siena is sent, and all of us are sent. Maybe we don't have to go very far, right in our own house, or right in our own neighborhood or workplace, family, parish, but we're all sent because we all belong to Jesus Christ and we all have received the same Holy Spirit. And when we say yes to God and follow him, we become who he created us to be. Not rigid conformity, but extraordinary beauty in diversity, extraordinary unity in the unique calling of each person. It's a quite an exciting journey. So as we reflect on these missionaries, we see how different they all are, but also how united they are in God. Thanks be to God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the gift of the mission given to us, and for the grace to be able to be faithful to it.